We're going to turn, please, this morning in God's Word for a Bible reading to 1 Chronicles and the chapter 29 and the verse number 1. Thank Reverend Crane for conducting that service, and we pray indeed God's blessing upon this little one and upon the family all concerned. I want to read today from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning our reading at the verse 1 of the chapter. Just going down to the end of verse number 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and beginning our reading at the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, and glistering stones and of divers colours, all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers and of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of God by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made a provision. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 19. And we do pray that God will bless the reading of his infallible and eternal word to all of our hearts today. I'd ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture that we read earlier, to 1 Chronicles, to the chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, just for a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already, Lord, in this gathering today. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt increase that sense of thy presence further, we pray. O God, draw near to our hearts today. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt open up our hearts like Lydia's of old to thy word. And in turn, O God, that thou wilt open up thy word and the holy page of Scripture to us. And Lord, help us to have that experience like David of old, who could say, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Father, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word and apply it by the power of God the Holy Spirit to every heart, to the saving of precious souls, to the blessing and the edifying and the strengthening of the saints of God. And Lord, to the glorifying of our Savior. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood from every sin and stain. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give help and enablement, Lord, in all that we would seek to say this morning. Let nothing be said that is not of thee. And Lord, let the word of the Lord prevail in every heart, Lord, as thou would see that need today. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning are those final words that you find at the end of verse 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where it says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Now, at the age of 30, Florence Nightingale wrote in her own personal diary these words. She said, "I am 30 years of age, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now no more childish things. Now, Lord, let me think only of thy will." Years later, at the end of her illustrious and heroic life, she was asked for her life's secret. And she replied to that question with this answer, "Well, I can only give one explanation. That is, I kept nothing back from the Lord." You see, Florence Nightingale was a Christian woman, a woman whose life was consecrated to the Lord. And people, the word consecration is a Bible word, a word that we find in the Scriptures. It occurs twice in the New Testament, in Hebrews 7 and verse 28, and is used there in connection with Christ being the eternal high priest of his people. And there it says, "The Son who is consecrated forevermore." Then it is also mentioned in Hebrews 10 and verse 20, and there it is used in connection with the believer's access to God through the blood and through the righteousness of Christ. And there that verse says, "By a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." But then we can also add that the word consecrated is found many times in the Old Testament. And we have it mentioned here in the words of our text this morning, at the end of verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 29, where it says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Now at this point in time, David is calling upon ancient Israel to consecrate themselves to the Lord, especially in regard to the building of the great temple of worship in the day of Solomon. It's interesting here to note from the chapter that this call to consecration is preceded by David mentioning his own example of consecration to the Lord. Notice what he says about himself at the beginning of verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3 of the chapter. He says, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God." And then look at what he says in verse 3. He says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God." The things of God had a very special place in the heart and the life of David. Then we see also this call to consecration is followed by David's prayer for consecration regarding the nation of Israel and regarding his own son Solomon. Look at how he prays in verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. He says, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things." What a prayer David uttered that day, not only for Israel, but for his own son Solomon. Indeed, a prayer that all of us who are parents would do well to emulate and to follow an example in our prayers for the life of our own children and our own offspring. And dear people, this morning, just as it was God's will for his people to be consecrated in the day of David, so it is still God's will for his people today to be consecrated unto the Lord. Oh, dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, whether you're saved recently, whether you've been saved for many a year, yes, it is the will of God that your life and my life be those lives that are consecrated unto the Lord, our God and our Savior. For that particular reason, I want us just to consider the words that are found here in this call to consecration that was uttered by the psalmist David. Notice first of all here with me the meaning of this call to consecration. It says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Notice those words, "who then?" Why, when David uttered this call, he was addressing the Lord's ancient people. And thus we see here that this call to consecration is something that applies to the believer, to the child of God, to that person who has repented of their sins, that person who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. This call goes to the child of God. You remember the words of Paul as he wrote to God's people in the city of Rome. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And by using that word brethren there, we see there that call to consecration applies to every child of God, to every born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're still unsaved, still without God's salvation? Dear friend, in our meeting, let me say this very clearly, that if your life is to be consecrated unto the Lord, then you must be saved. As the Bible says, you must be born again. You must be converted to Christ.
Before God, you must recognize your need as a lost sinner and repent of your sin and turn to Christ and put your faith and trust in Christ, in His sacrifice, in His blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary for the remission of your sins and the saving of your soul. Indeed, the Bible says, but as many as them received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. To be consecrated unto the Lord, you must be saved. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as Savior. And that would be our prayer for you in the meeting this morning. Young or old, boy or girl, man or woman unsaved, that this very day you would come to Christ, you'd trust Him as your Savior and start living for Him. Yes, this call to consecration is for the child of God. It applies to all of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting today. And it speaks of our life being devoted to the Lord. Our life being set apart for the service of God. Our life being set apart for the glory of God. That word consecrated there literally means to fill the hand. That's what it means. And the thought here is that our lives as Christians are to be filled full with the service of God. Filled full with that desire to live to the glory of God. Back in Exodus chapter number 28 and the verse number 3. There we have the word consecrate used in connection with Aaron and his appointment to the high priesthood in Israel. And it says, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And Aaron was set apart as a priest unto God. In the Old Testament time, it means to be set apart. Again, over in the book of Micah, chapter number 4, and the verse number 13, there we have the word consecration, and it speaks of that which is devoted to God. It says, arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. And there it is used in connection with that which is devoted to the Lord. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is how it is to be with ourselves as the people of God. Our lives are to be devoted to the Lord. Our lives are to be set apart for the Lord. The ambition of our lives day by day as God's people is to be to glorify God, to live for God's honor and God's glory in all that we would seek to say and do. Bible says to us who are saved, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Just the meaning of this call to consecration. But notice, secondly here from our text, notice the consent to this call to consecration. It says, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Notice there the mention of that word willing. Who then is willing? Where there is consecration on the part of the Christian, there is a willingness in their life to consent to God's will. If you like, there is a surrendering up to God's plan for their life, a yielding up to God's will and God's purpose for their life. The Lord says, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Why, whenever you look at the life of Abraham of old, you'll see this willingness in his part. Why, whenever God called him to leave his home and to leave his family and to go out and to live in another place, he obeyed the Lord. He was willing. It says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. And again, whenever the Lord called him to separate from the contention of Lot, again, Abraham obeyed. It says, Abraham departed and dwelled in the land of Canaan. and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. There was a coming apart to avoid that contention. Again, whenever God called them to cast out Hagar and Ishmael and no longer live a life of dependence upon the flesh, but rather live a life of dependence upon the promise of God, again there Abraham obeyed. It says he sent her and the child away. And then whenever God called them to put his son, the son of promise, Isaac, upon the altar upon Mount Moriah, what did Abraham do? He obeyed. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early and took Isaac onto the place which God had told him of. And as you look at the life of Abraham, you'll see that his life was surrendered to God, yielded up to the will of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, if our lives are to be consecrated to the Lord, then we too as believers, as Christians, must surrender to God's will for our lives. Christian, let me ask you as you sit in this meeting this morning, are you willing for the will of God in your life, whatever that will may entail? Turn with me over to the New Testament book of Romans and to the chapter number 12. Look with me, please, at the verse number 1 of this chapter, and notice the great appeal that Paul makes here, not only to the Christians living in the city of Rome in his day, but to all God's people. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice those words, your reasonable service. What is Paul telling us there? He's telling us, in light of all God's mercies toward us, all the benefits and blessings of salvation, and all his mercies to us, he says, consecration to the Lord is but the reasonable thing. It is but the wise thing in our lives as God's people, as believers in Christ. My Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, speaking upon this very subject, said, God's service is not unreasonable. It is the only reasonable thing to do. My expressing the desire for his life to be consecrated unto the Lord. The hymn writer penned those well-known words when they said, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. O child of God, may this be the burden and the consent of our hearts today as we think of God's word. Think of this question, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Yes, we see the meaning of this call. We see the willingness for consecration. But notice something else from our text this morning. Notice the urgency in this call to consecration. David says in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 5, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Notice the mention there of the words, this day. And that speaks of urgency. My, in this very chapter, David himself was very conscious of the fact that he and God's people had only a very limited time to serve the Lord and to do the will of God. Look at what he says in verse 15, further on down the chapter. He says, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. David knew he was not here forever. He was only a pilgrim, a sojourner, passing through this world, the scene of time, just here for a short period of time. Praise God, the people, they also see the urgency of the situation. Why they don't delay in responding to this call to consecration in the building of the temple. Look at verses 6 and verse 9 of the chapter. It says, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Verse 9 says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. They did not hold back. They responded to that call immediately. Child of God, you think of the words that are found in the book of Ecclesiastes. And what does it say in chapter 9 of that great book? It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, and do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whithersoever thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, and do it with thy might. Dear people, when it comes to living for Christ, when it comes to serving Christ and consecrating their lives to the Lord, we are not to delay. We are not to hold back. You think this morning of the example of Christ's own life here and there. Think of him as a young boy of 12 in the temple. What did he say there in that chapter? He said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business, even as a young child? And then think of him later on in life, coming near to the end of his earthly ministry. What did he say? I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. There's a real sense of urgency about the life of Christ, perfectly doing the will of God as Heavenly Father. You turn with me, please, over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 4. And look with me here at verses 19 and 20 of the chapter. Here the Lord calling Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. Notice the call he gives to them in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. It says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And look at their response. Next verse, verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They did not delay. They did not hold back. That word straightway means immediately, if you like, forthwith. They set aside their nets, their occupation, whatever that was. It says, and they followed him. They did not delay in serving the Lord. Dear believer in Christ, in the meeting this morning, let me ask, what's your response going to be today before God? Light of his word to this call to consecration. When the Lord speaks to your heart, and when the Lord speaks to my heart, he says, who then is willing to consecrate themselves this day unto the Lord? Will your response be prompt, or will it be one of delay? I pray that your response will be like Joshua of old. What did he say to Israel? He said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, may your response be like David himself. You go back again to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and go over to the end of the chapter to verse number 28. And look at what you read there about David himself. It says, and he died in a good old age. And it says, full of days and riches and honor. But notice that little phrase there, full of days. In other words, it means his life was filled full to the service of God and living for God and living for Christ the Savior. What a testimony. His life was full of days for the Lord. You remember what the hymn writer says, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor it is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Christian, you and I have only one life. Let us use that life for the Lord. Oh, the urgency of this call. But notice fourthly here in connection with our text, notice the substance of this call to consecration. Look again at what our text says. It says, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? What are we to consecrate to the Lord as believers? Well, notice the mention there of the words, his service. What does that entail for you and I as Christians? It entails our bodies being consecrated unto the Lord. The Bible says to the believer, present your body a living sacrifice. My, while we've got health and while we've got strength, When we've got soundness of mind, we're to allow all our faculties to be used by God for God's honor and God's glory. Our service also involves our time as Christians. Remember what Paul said to the believers in Ephesus, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Dear people, time is a very precious gift from God. You don't really realize that so much when you're young. But the older you get, you realize how precious a time is. And why we're not to waste our time on the vain things of this world. We're to give of our time up to God, to God's service, and to God's worship. Now, this means us as believers giving all the Sabbath day to the Lord. It means us giving time for the Lord at the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It means us day by day in our daily lives giving time to talk to God in the place of prayer and giving time for the Lord to talk to us by the reading of His Word and of His truth. It means us giving time for God's work when that need arises. Also, our service means our talents. You look there at what David says there in verse number 14 of the chapter. He says, "Off thine own," he says, "have we given thee." In other words, whatever he had, he knew it came from the Lord. And likewise, whatever our gifts are, whatever our talents are, they've come from God. And we are to give them back to God. We're to offer them up to God, available for him to use and take up in his service and his cause and his kingdom. Our service also means our tithes and offerings unto the Lord's work as God's people. Remember what is said over in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." My, the least we are to give to God's work is that tenth of our income. Anything less than this when we rob God of that which actually belongs to the Lord. Then our service also means the giving of our hearts to the Lord. Remember what the Lord says to us in the book of Proverbs. He says, "My son, give me thine heart." My, the heart is the center of our being. Here self is to be dethroned. Here Christ is to reign Lord and Savior of all. You remember how Paul commended the believers at Macedonia? He says of them, "But first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then unto us," he says, "by the will of God." Dear Christian, you and I, first of all, are to give our own selves to the Lord. And then we are to allow everything else that we have, everything else that we are, to be used by God and for His honor and for His glory. Speaking upon this very topic, Matthew Henry said these words. He said, "If religion is worth anything, it is worth everything." C.T. Studd, the missionary to Africa, said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." Think of the words of Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, as he reflected upon Christ and what Christ meant to him, what Christ done for him. He said, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." There was no holding back from the Lord. Oh yes, the substance of this call to consecration. But notice one final thought this morning. Notice the outcome of heeding this call to consecration. What is the outcome? Well, as God's people, our life will not be conformed or be conforming to the spirit of this ungodly world. In other words, our mind will be renewed in the will of God. You turn back again to Romans chapter 12, and you'll see this for yourself in verse number 2 of the chapter. And look at what Paul says there to God's people after making that call for them to present themselves to the Lord. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean for us as believers? It means thinking like God. It means us as believers living with eternity's values in view. It means us as believers living in harmony with God. It means us walking with God here on earth as God's people in our daily life. It means a life that will be owned and blessed of God, where we'll know the joy of the Lord in our lives. You go back again to 1 Chronicles 29 and just look at the mention of joy there in verse number 9 of the chapter. It says, then the people rejoiced for that they willingly offered, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. My, when the believer gives up their life to the Lord, for the Lord's will, for the Lord to use and to do as he pleases in that life, no matter what the circumstances are outwardly, will be that testimony of joy. As the Bible says, that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in the midst of life storms, not only will there be joy, but there'll be blessing, and that life will be used of God to fulfill the will of God in their day and generation. Turn with me back to 1 Kings chapter number 6. 1 Kings chapter number 6. Look with me just at verse 1 of the chapter, and then just look at the very last verse of the chapter. It says, and it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Zith, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Notice there it speaks of Solomon and the people in the fourth year of his reign, beginning to build the house of the Lord. And it was a magnificent house. There was none like it. Go down to verse number 38, the very last verse of the chapter. Notice what it says. And in the 11th year, and in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building. In the space of 7 years, Solomon and the people, they built the temple in Jerusalem, the house of the Lord. We might ask the question, why or how? How? There's only one answer. They were a people who were consecrated unto the Lord. A Christian man was once asked how he had time to look after a large Sunday school in addition to his own business, in addition to being postmaster general of the village or the town that he lived. And he replied to that question by saying, Sunday school is my business. All other things are just things. 45 years ago, I learned to trust the Lord's great promise. Matthew 6, verse 33. The Lord speaks to his own people. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Child of God, that promise is for you and I also to live by in our day and generation. Oh, think of our text this morning. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Tell me, dear believer in Christ, are you willing to say yes to the will of God for my life? Whatever that will entails, may there be no holding back. But by God's grace, may you and I go through with God our vows to pay, our life upon the altar of God to labor.